With us on the line now is Lucinda Jackson. She's the author of two memoirs, Just a Girl, Growing Up Female and Ambitious, and now Project Escape, Lessons for an Unscripted Life, which provides an unvarnished but ultimately encouraging book at navigating the post-career era. Welcome to the show, Lucinda.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. So how long has this book been a project, if you like? How long have you been working on it?
My recent book, Project Escape, just came out about 4 weeks ago, and I wrote it over the pandemic. So took about 2 years, and I'm happy it's out now. My first book was a little faster. It took about 1 year. But it varies project to project.
And this book obviously is talking about retirement and stopping work, which I understand if you've had a particularly successful career or a long career, I imagine it can be very difficult to stop working.
Yeah, exactly. That certainly happened to me. I'm part of a new wave of decades-long career women. Who are moving away from their jobs. And we're sort of the first era of women who were hired in the 70s and really were allowed to have full on careers. And so the aftermath of that is much like what has happened to men over many decades, which you can get depressed. You wonder about your identity, your purpose, you worry about money, lots of things like that. So that's what the book's about. It's not a financial guide, let me tell you, but it's a little bit, but more about, you know, managing your partner. There's a lot of gray divorce, as they call it, after people that have been working and go into retirement. And I didn't want any of that stuff to happen to me. It did, but I became really aware of it.
Yeah, there's awful stories I remember reading throughout the years of people who have, you know, worked really hard their whole lives, often in jobs that they hate, potentially not necessarily earning huge amounts of money for it, thinking, you know, once I retire, I can start living, you know, that's when you can start traveling and doing things. And then people die often after they retire, which I think is just so incredibly sad. So they spend their whole life thinking, I'm going to start my life when I retire, and then don't actually get to that stage.
Exactly. That's why I encourage people to start thinking about this pretty early and make your retirement intentional. And I call it the next act because I hate the word retirement, because that means, to withdraw or to recede or go to bed. And I don't think this is an era for any of that. There's just so much to do, and I have found this to be the best time of my life.
Oh, good. It should be, shouldn't it? You know, it should be a really exciting time when you can start to have a bit more freedom and choice about how you want to live your life.
Exactly. But I do see people confused and just, you know, kind of wandering around, not sure what to do in retirement. And so my advice and my guidance to people is that don't think so much about what you're going to do, but focus on who you are. And there's different ways to do that I found pretty successful for myself.
Give us an example. What did you do then?
Well, I looked at my core values, and I actually started it by having a mission statement for myself, just like corporations do. And I came from the corporate world, so I used some of the tools that I learned there. But I specifically said I want to create a remarkable next act. That was my my mission statement for myself. And then I really looked deep at, you know, what do I really believe in and what are my guidance goals, and tried to keep away from, I mean, in retirement, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to play golf or I'm going to travel, but those are dues. And what I, you know, recommend is that people focus on what they really believe. And so I took a lot of time to just kind of dig deep into myself. And some of it's kind of painful because you don't really want to admit what your needs are. But I came up with 5 core values, and I use those to then decide what I'm going to do, and using them as kind of a criteria when I decide to do something, do those meet my core values? That way it keeps people from going off on just doing things that they ultimately find not very satisfying.
Hmm.
And to me, this is kind of the key of getting that satisfaction in this stage of life, which I think is really an opportunity.
Yeah. And you don't need to talk about you personally if you don't want to, but can you give us an example of those core values that people could think about?
Yeah, sure. Mine are, one is noble purpose, and I've always been idealistic, so that's something that stuck with me, and it made me feel like whatever I did this time of life needed to have some bigger purpose beyond myself. And then another one of my core values is authentic self, and I spent almost 50 years in academia and corporate world in a pretty structured environment. And I couldn't always be myself. And I think a lot of people feel that way about their jobs. You can't wholly be yourself because of lots of reasons. So right now I really want to be around people and be doing things that where I'm allowed to just be whoever I am, be myself. And then freedom and adventure are core values for me. Again, coming from a structured career, I'm, it's kind of fantastic to be more free and more adventurous. And another one, the one that was hardest for me probably was this one about being valued. At first I thought what I needed was a paycheck to make me feel valued, but then I realized that I just need to feel valued in some way. And then my final one that I really like, that keeps everything balanced for me is romance. And through my first debacle of a retirement, which was joining the Peace Corps at age 66, I did find romance with my husband after we reignited our relationship, and it was so wonderful that I pay attention to that every day.
Mm.
So that's how I do it and kind of make my retirement intentional.
Yeah, the value one is a really interesting one, isn't it? Because if you're, as you say, initially you'd think it's to do with a paycheck, but it's having that purpose and having to go to work every day, whatever your job is, but feeling that you are valued and knowing that if you don't turn up for work, XYZ won't happen. You must be at work in order to ensure that the business or a certain part of the business runs smoothly and efficiently. So when that's taken away, you've got to kind of think of other ways to be valued and other ways to have purpose, or things that you can that are purposeful, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I find myself accepting, in retirement, there's lots of opportunities to do lots of stuff. There's so many alternatives. And I use that to, kind of guide myself. Like if I'm starting to do something where I'm feeling like something's not right here, I'm not really enjoying this, then I go back to my core values. And often it's that I'm not feeling valued by, what I'm doing, or that I'm not feeling the appreciation or whatever. And I realize how important that is to me. And then I stop doing that and, do other things. And that's why I just think it works really well. It does for me, at least. I just see a lot of people not completely satisfied with their retirements. It's that they're not what they thought they were going to be.
Mm.
And it does take work. I mean, it's interesting. If you just kind of do nothing, it can not develop very well. So that's why I really, encourage people to think about what they want and be aware of, there's different stages of retirement. I didn't realize that, when I started out, I didn't know what's going on with me. Like I was so excited about planning, and then I was, got to do the farewell ceremonies and bye. And yeah, everybody's like, yay, you're retiring. How fun is this going to be? And then I had this euphoric stage where I was just kind of crazy with delight and stars in my eyes about, I was running around doing everything I could think of to do. And then I experienced this crash phase, and a lot of people don't realize that that's very common. And that's where you start feeling like, well, this, wow, this isn't what I thought. You know, I miss my work. I don't have any purpose. I played all the golf I want to play, or I, you know, visited with all the friends I want to see, and now I'm kind of lost. And that's what I talk about in my second book, that I went through a pretty big crash phase, but I came out the other side. And that's what I encourage people, like, don't leave there. There's a do-over stage where you can try again and try again, you know, different things, and massage your core values. Mine changed along the way, you know, like from the paycheck to the being valued. And I didn't have romance in there originally. And then I found how fantastic that was to re-energize my relationship with my partner. So that's, you know, if you're kind of aware of how this goes, I think it helps people get a plan and not get depressed, not lose your identity, which again, I see a lot of that. So it's fun to help people think through this really interesting phase of life.
Yeah. And are you able to share your experiences with friends and family? Have you got people close to you that have gone through a similar thing?
Oh, yes. Yes. And I do also mentoring and consulting with people who are going into retirement. And I speak to a lot of groups about, especially women that haven't gotten a lot of attention over the years. There's always been this assumption that women adjust really well to retirement because they have hearth at home and that kind of thing, and family, you know, grandchildren or whatever. But that's not the case really for women who are coming out of full-blown careers. You know, we really just have the same issues that men have had for years about feeling kind of discombobulated and lost from your former identity. So I talked to a lot of groups, especially these, long-term career women coming into retirement. And I've seen it so many times, but it's really interesting to help people and watch them get through this. I've seen a lot of women actually think that they're going to spend more time with their grandchildren and their kids, only to find out that the kids really don't want that. You have to think about who your stakeholders are and not just assume that everybody is going to be on board for whatever you choose in your retirement.
Yeah, everyone has their own lives, don't they? Yeah. So, you know, it would be easy, I guess, at that age or stage of life to think, oh, I'll spend loads of times with the kids and grandkids, but the kids and grandkids have already got things going on. They can't necessarily change the way they live their life in order to spend more time with the grandparents always.
Absolutely. It's the same thing with friends. If you're thinking, well, I'm going to spend more time with my friends, well, your friends have their own lives. And if you're relying on that as part of your, you know, success in retirement, it may not work out.
Yeah.
So that's why I really advocate that this is a time of life for, you know, it's for you, for me. You know, this is the me time to really find out what satisfies you. And a lot of women ask me, like, well, you know, older women, a lot of us don't have partners. And they say, well, I can't do all this stuff because I don't have a partner. And I, you know, am a big advocate of doing your own thing and figuring out your own core values, not your partner's core values. And I have a husband, but we do lots of things separately, and we have our own sets of core values, but they meld in some ways. But we had to work to get those to meld. That's not always easy either.
Yeah.
So it's a really important phase to take care of yourself, and you're finally like have a little bit of time to do that, especially for women that have been caregivers and raising children and working, and it's the me time.
Mm. For people who are really, really missing work and that structure and everything, obviously charity work is a great thing to do. And there's so many charities around in most areas, whether it's to do with animals or people or the planet, or, you know, there's so much going on. So that would be a great thing for people to get involved in.
You have to find the right volunteer work. I've seen a lot of disappointment in volunteer work, especially women coming from pretty aggressive careers. that they don't feel like, I mean, they're used to being leaders, and then you go into a volunteer organization and you end up cleaning out animal cages or something, which can be great, but not as satisfying. So it's important to find the right volunteer activities that meet your core values. Mm. Like I've done some of that and I didn't feel valued. And so it didn't meet my core values, but I found the right ones for me. Yes. And I think that's another thing people say, oh, I'm going to volunteer. But then the volunteering doesn't always work out.
No, good point. Well, if people want some advice, they should definitely get a copy of your book. It's called Project Escape, Lessons for an Unscripted Life. It's by Lucinda Jackson, who we've been chatting with. The book is available on our website, tre.radio. Lucinda, thanks so much for joining us.
You're so welcome. Nice talking to you with you, Hannah.